Please turn again to Acts chapter 27. We would like to sympathize with our sister Margaret Knox today, the passing of her father. To Margaret and John and the family circle, we assure you of our prayers. We have been remembering you around the throne of grace, and would ask you to do the same, please. The Lord will give grace to help in time of need. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer with God's word open before us at this portion of Scripture. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and we do praise thee that you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us, even as we're going to find out today in this passage of Scripture. We thank thee, Lord, that the resurrected Savior is our own and personal Savior. Many of us can testify to that this afternoon. Oh God, we thank thee that we're coming today to consider the wonderful promise that you give to your child in the midst of the storm. And oh God, that promise is still good for us today. You're still on the throne. You're still the same God. We thank thee, Lord, for that. And we thank thee, oh God, that we can cast our burden upon thee, whatever our burden is. Oh God, we just praise thee for thy mercy. We know, Lord, that we're so frail. These bodies of ours are dying. Very soon, Lord, if you withhold your second coming, they'll be put in Mother Earth. But oh God, we thank thee that even then, as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you've promised to be with us. Your presence and your promise remains. How we thank thee for that, Lord. Oh God, help us not to forget in all the uncertainty of these days in which we're living. We look around us and we see the world going crazy. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be still and know that thou art God, because thou hast redeemed us by your precious blood and saved us by your grace. Oh God, help us day by day to wait upon thee. We thank thee for thy word. We praise thee for the scriptures of truth. What comfort they bring us. Oh God, may we be found in the scriptures of truth day by day. Whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, whatever our circumstances, may we gain strength through the word of God. We thank thee for thy word, Lord, is eternal and everlasting, incorruptible, infallible. We praise thee that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, profitable for every situation, profitable no matter what our circumstances. Oh God, come and bless thy word, therefore, to every heart, especially those that are cast down, especially those today, Lord, with burdens that no one knows about apart from yourself, Lord. Oh God, lift up the weary, lift up the brokenhearted, touch those, Lord, that need that special touch from thee. Hide man far behind the cross this day. May none be seen save Jesus only. Give us a word, Lord. That's what we want this Lord's Day. We want a word from God. A word that we can leave God's house saying, the Lord has spoken to us today. And Lord, a word that we can feed on this week. Indeed, Lord, a word that we'll be able to feed on until you call us home or come again, to receive us up to glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Look again at Acts 27, verses 22 to 25. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Acts, as we have said, this chapter 27 is all about the Apostle Paul making his voyage to Rome. After Paul was handed over as a prisoner to the Roman centurion Julian, they set sail on their journey to Italy. Paul had been a prisoner, of course, in Caesarea for more than 2 years, but now he's finally on his journey to Rome to make his personal appeal before Caesar. As Paul was traveling by sea en route to Rome, a terrible storm arose. And as we have emphasized, Acts chapter 27 is a detailed account of that storm. And I would encourage you to read the whole chapter even this afternoon. So great was the storm that it was feared that all on board the ship would lose their lives. Look again with me at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. As you read down the chapter, you learn the reason why the ship found itself in this situation. The centurion failed to take Paul's advice when the apostle warned him that the storm was coming. And we have that in verses 9 to 11. The centurion failed to take Paul's counsel. Rather, he decided to listen to the captain of the ship. Thus, they sailed on, and they found themselves in the midst of these terrible circumstances. It was a violent storm. Humanly speaking, the ship was going to be wrecked. Humanly speaking, every man was going to lose his life. But in the midst of all these events that we have recorded in Acts chapter 27 concerning the storm, surely the most thrilling fact that we have recorded here in this chapter is what Paul said in the midst of the storm. Our text for today. I pray as we come to look at these words this afternoon that the Lord will encourage our hearts. As I have said there, I want very simply to preach on the subject, being cheerful in the midst of the storm. Now just think of the context in which these words were spoken here, the words of our text. As we have said, all hope, humanly speaking, was gone. The ship was going to be destroyed in the midst of the storm. They had not seen the light of day for many weeks. But in the midst of all this, Paul stands up and he says to all on board this ship, be of good cheer. Child of God, in the midst of the storms of life, we need to learn to be of good cheer. Now, I know that is hard at times, especially when you're deep in the valley, especially when you are facing a trial. But if there's one truth that we learn here from this passage of Scripture and from this story, it's this, that the Lord is with his people even in the midst of the hottest storm. Why was Paul so cheerful in the midst of this storm? Well, first of all, take a look at verse 23, and you'll see, because of the presence of God with him. He had the presence of the Lord in the midst of the storm. You know, child of God, we should never take that for granted. And yet, that's the first thing we almost forget about when the storm comes. The Lord is with his people in the midst of the storm. Look what it says in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Underline it. Whose I am and whom I serve. Paul here states clearly that the Lord was with him. The angel of the Lord stood by him and spoke to him. Is it any wonder that Paul was cheerful? Because the Lord was standing right by his side. And he sought to get this message across to all on board the ship. And he told them to be cheerful. He told them not to be downhearted, because Paul revealed unto them that his God was with him. And because his God was with him, not one of them were going to lose their lives. And we'll say more about that in a moment. This, of course, was not the first time Paul knew the presence of the Lord with him in the midst of the storms of life. Just turn back a few pages for a moment. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 27 and look at Acts chapter 18. We have already covered these verses, and perhaps you'll remember what we preached about in Acts chapter 18. In this portion of Scripture, Paul is at Corinth, the city of Corinth. And when Paul was in Corinth, God's work became so difficult. And Paul's back was against the wall. He was so discouraged. And he was going to move on. At the very least, he was going to move on. Some thought that he was even going to turn back, some of the commentators. But in the midst of this storm that Paul faced in Corinth, the Lord spoke to Paul again. Look what it says in verse 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. There's the words I want you to underline. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And of course, Paul continued on in Corinth there. And he saw a great work done for the Lord. But you'll notice there that again, in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of a deep, dark valley, the Lord revealed himself to Paul. And Paul again recognized, the Lord is with me. Take a look at Acts chapter 23. And you'll remember that at Jerusalem, just before Paul left to go to Rome, at Jerusalem, the Jews sought to kill Paul. They wanted to take his life. This was another storm that Paul had to face. Remember, he was arrested and brought into the castle. Look what it says in verse 11. But, and the night following, Paul says, the Lord stood by him, or the Bible says, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So there the Lord was revealing to Paul that he wasn't going to be killed. These men that had covenanted together to take Paul's life, they were going to fail because the Lord had more work for Paul to do, and he was going to eventually get to Rome. But you can see here that the Lord came and drew near to Paul and assured him that God's presence was with him. And of course, at Rome, all men forsook him. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17, we read these words. Just listen to them. At my first answer, no man stood with me, Paul said, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. Again, this is another example of the Lord's being with Paul in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a difficult situation. Oh, child of God, what a great truth there is here for you and I. It's a simple truth, but it's a truth we often forget, especially when we're in the hard place, especially when we're in the midst of the storms of life. Let us never forget that the Lord has promised to be with us no matter what the storms of life may be. You're all familiar with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But, you know, sometimes we forget this text of Scripture when things are hard and when times are difficult, when sickness comes, when problems come that we have to face in our lives. But never forget it. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Isn't that a tremendous promise? Oh, thank God, no matter what our circumstances are in life, the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In Jude 24 and 25, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Here's Here's one of the reasons why Paul was so cheerful in the midst of this storm, because the Lord's presence was with him. The Lord wasn't going to forsake him in the midst of the storm. The Lord wasn't going to let go of him in the midst of this great tempest. Oh no, the Lord was with him. And child of God, whatever you're passing through today, whatever you have been passing through over these past weeks, months, maybe even years, remember this and don't forget it. Standing right by your side is the one who has saved you, the one who has redeemed you, and the one who loves you. And thank God he will be with you and I right to the very end. And yea, even when death comes itself, even when we're facing the last enemy, he has promised that he would be with us and bring us safely home to glory, home to heaven. Really, we should not fear what life brings, but we do, but we shouldn't. But I pray that today and tomorrow and in the years that lie ahead, my friend, when you get into a difficult spot, when a storm arises within your life, within your family, that you'll remember that the Lord Jesus is with you. He's with us. And here in Acts chapter 27, as far as these shipmen were concerned, as far as the centurion was concerned, as far as the owner of the ship was concerned, as far as these hardened sailors were concerned, they're all going to die. They were all going to be lost. But Paul knew to the difference. And he stands up before them. And Paul was a man of faith, and we've already seen that. And it took faith for him to stand up in the midst of that storm and say, "Listen, men, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For the Lord has promised me this night that all is well. The Lord's with me." Now take a look at the text again and you'll see something else here. You'll see that Paul was cheerful in the midst of this storm, not only because he had the presence of the Lord with him, but because of the promise of God to him. Did you notice that? Look at verse 22. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Now, what a tremendous statement that is. Saying, look at verse 24, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God," here's the promise, "God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." We have here a threefold promise. The Lord promised Paul that his own life would be preserved. That's the first thing. Secondly, the Lord promised Paul that the lives of all on board the ship would be saved. That's the second part of the promise. And then thirdly, the Lord promised that Paul would stand and witness before Caesar at Rome to the gospel of Christ. That was the third promise. So not only was he going to make this journey, but he would eventually stand before Caesar Augustus and preach Christ to him. Here we have the Lord in the midst of the storm promising Paul his divine protection. Why did the Lord give Paul this wonderful promise? Because Paul was a child of God and Paul was a servant of the Lord. I wonder, did you pick that up on verse 23? Don't miss it. Look what it says in verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, the angel of the Lord, the resurrected Christ, whose I am, and whom I serve. Underline those words. Paul believed the promise of God. He believed the promise of God. Isn't it wonderful, child of God, today, God's promises are for you and me. The promises that are found in this book. When God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When the Lord says that he'll be with us even as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Those promises are for us. Why? Because we belong to him and he belongs to us. He has saved us. We are his children. We've been bought with a price. And thank God, because of Calvary and the blood of the Lamb, and because the Lord Jesus not only died but rose again, he is our Savior. He's our living Redeemer. Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And thank God today, because he lives, he will fulfill his promises and he will keep his word. And he kept his word on this occasion as well in Acts chapter 27. Take a look at verse 44. God keeps his promises. God's promise was fulfilled. Look, it says in verse 44, and the rest, some on board. Now, there was a shipwreck here. The ship was lost. And every man ended up on the sea. But look what it says. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, I want you to underline that little word, all. That's what the Lord had promised Paul. And when Paul stood up in the midst of the storm and said to the men, the sailors, be of good cheer, for we're all going to be safe. Not one of us is going to drown. Not one of us is going to die. We're all going to get safely to the shore. That was the promise. And the Lord kept his promise. They all escaped. Oh, child of God, you should never miss the little words in the texts of Scripture that you read. And you should never miss seeing how the Lord always fulfills his word and his truth. These are simple truths, but wonderful truths. Child of God, no one will harm us until our work for God is done. And then when our work for God is done, he will bring us safely home to glory. And of course, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. No one could harm him. Those that hated him at Corinth could not harm him. Those that sought to kill him at Jerusalem could not kill him. Even when men forsook him, the Lord stood by him. And right to the very end of his life, the Lord was with him. And when his life eventually did come to an end, when he was martyred for the faith, the Lord still was with him, and the Lord brought him through the valley of the shadow of death and brought him on home to glory. Oh, why should we fear? We belong to him. He belongs to us. He'll keep his hand upon us. He has promised his protection, his divine protection, until our service for Christ on earth is over. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture, and I know you know it so well, but I'm going to read it at this point. Isaiah chapter 43. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 27 and turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. What a lovely portion of Scripture it is. Child of God, in the midst of the storm, the Lord has promised us his divine protection. Look what it says in verse 1 down to verse 7. Verse 1 of Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. The Lord created us. O Jacob, he that formed thee, the Lord has formed us. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Child of God, you and I belong to the Lord. Never forget that. We're his property. When thou passest, verse 2, it doesn't say if, it says when. It says when. That means that each and every one of us who are saved, we will pass through the storm. Now, we may not pass through a severe storm for many years. Everything may seem to be going so well, and then the storm will come all of a sudden. But the text says, when thou passest through the waters. But look what it says, I will be with thee. And when thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Thank God today we have this wonderful promise that the Lord will keep his hand upon us no matter what the storms of life may be, till our work for God is over. There's a lovely text of scripture in Psalm 91 and verse 4. Listen to what it says. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And in Psalm 125 verse 2 it says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. And in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, listen to these words. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Not a tremendous text of scripture. Oh, the Lord is the one who fights our battles. The Lord is the one who is protecting us. The Lord is the one who has promised that he will give us help in our time of need. And here in Acts chapter 27, in the midst of this terrible storm, where everything seems to be lost, the Lord draws near his child. He knows the presence of the Lord. I am with thee, Paul. And Paul, I'm going to protect you. You're not going to die in the midst of this storm. And all these shipmen with you, I'm going to spare their lives as well. That's my promise to you, Paul. I'm going to give you these men as well. And he kept his word. Because Paul's work and service for Christ had not ended, because he had to stand before Caesar Augustus and witness to the faith in Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord, child of God. There's no greater privilege. After salvation, the greatest privilege in this earth is to serve the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, as he sends us forth, no one can put their hand upon us. No one can touch us outside of God's will until our work for God is over. Oh, that ought to give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in the God of heaven. That ought to give us boldness, not in ourselves, but in the God of heaven. Thank God the Lord is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Something else I want you to notice here, bud. I want you to notice that Paul was cheerful, not only because he had the presence of the Lord with him, and not only because he had the promise of the Lord, but thirdly, because of the power of God all around him. Now, another reason why Paul was so cheerful in the midst of this storm was because he knew that God... Listen to this. He knew that God was as much in control of the storm as he was of the calm. Paul knew that the Lord was in complete control of everything, even the storm. Now, it's important that you see this. Child of God, no matter what storm that we find ourselves in, God is controlling it. If we believe that God is sovereign, therefore, in the midst of it, we must trust him. We must trust him. Romans 8, verse 28 says this, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, what Paul is saying there is this: the God who has saved us, the God who has redeemed us, the God who is fitting us for heaven is the God who is controlling all our circumstances on this earth. Do you believe that, child of God? There's nothing happens to us by chance. Absolutely nothing happens to you or I by chance. God has planned it all. And God had planned this storm in Acts chapter 27. Child of God, the Lord knows all about the storms of life that we have to face. And there are times not only when he permits the storms to come our way, but there are times when he sends the storms our way. But all the time, God is controlling the storm. Do you believe that? Well, keep your hand in Acts chapter 27 and turn over for a moment to Mark chapter 6. I want you to see this because it's very important. Look at verse 45. The disciples are just about to enter into the ship to go across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm's going to blow up. A great tempest, a great storm. But I want you to notice exactly what it says in verse 45. It says this. Of Mark 6. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. First of all, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus made the disciples get into the ship. He constrained them. Now, why did he constrain them? Why did he have to constrain them to get into the ship? Why did he just not say, listen, get into the ship, go across to the other side? I believe the reason why he constrained them to get into the ship was because the disciples knew that the storm was coming. They were fishermen, many of them. They could read the elements. And I believe on the horizon, they could see that the storm was coming. They didn't want to get into the ship. Who would want to get into a ship to go into a storm? But it says here that Jesus constrained them. He made them get into the ship. In other words, Jesus sent them into the storm. Purposely sent them into the storm. That's what it says. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And of course, as they went into the ship, and as they started to sail over the Sea of Galilee, this great storm blew up. Look at verse 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So the Lord didn't go with them into the ship. He stayed on the land. And he saw them, verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. In other words, a great storm blew up. If you read the rest of the passage, you'll read that the Lord Jesus walked on the water, and he eventually came to where the disciples were, and he got into the ship. And he calmed the storm. And they got safely over on the other side. You know, oftentimes I read that and I think to myself, why did the Lord just not say, listen, there's a storm coming, just wait a few hours and then we'll go over. I'll tell you why. Because he wanted to test their faith. And he wanted to strengthen their faith. And child of God, there's times the Lord permits the storm to come. There's times the Lord will even send us into the storm in order to test our faith and to strengthen our faith.
How else is our faith going to be strengthened? And I'll tell you this, the disciples, their faith was certainly strengthened, was it not? When you read the end of the story, oh, child of God, in the midst of the storm, it is only in the midst of the storm that we'll see the power of God demonstrated. It's only when we're deep in the valley, when our back's against the wall, and we call upon the Lord to deliver us, that we'll see the power of God in action. And that's why at times we need a storm. That's why at times we need a change. That's why at times we need something to happen that will cause us to look up to the God of heaven again. In Acts chapter 27, don't you think for one minute that when this storm was raging before the Lord revealed himself to Paul, don't you think for one minute that Paul wasn't seeking the Lord, that Paul wasn't crying unto God? I believe he was. He may have been crying and praying, Lord, what have you brought me this way for? You've told me at Jerusalem that I was going to be able to stand before Caesar. How on earth am I going to stand before Caesar now? This storm has come, we're all going to die. The test is faith. In order to strengthen his faith, in order to demonstrate his mighty power. Oh, child of God, we should not look upon the storms of life as disasters. We should look upon the storms of life as opportunities to prove God and to see the power of God demonstrated in a mighty way, in our personal lives, in our families, whatever comes our way. We should be cheerful. And we should be cheerful because the Lord has promised to be with us. We should be cheerful because the Lord has promised that he will give us help and strength during that time. And we should be cheerful, waiting in anticipation to see what the God of heaven is going to do in the midst of these trying circumstances. And at the end of it all, if he brings us into a storm, and that storm is to bring us home to heaven, then we'll still see the power of God, because we'll see Christ face to face. Some storm has to bring us home to glory. Whether it's the storm of death, whether it's the storm of a severe sickness, whether it's some other storm. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will help us to be cheerful. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. Though he may send some affliction, 'twill but make me long for home, for in love and not in anger all his chastenings will come. Enemies may strive to injure, Satan all his arts employ. He will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. So while here the cross I'm bearing, meeting storms and billows wild, Jesus for my soul is caring, naught can harm his Father's child. He will hide me, he will hide me, where no harm can e'er betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. Praise God. The Lord will keep his hand upon each and every one of us who are his. That's what he has promised. Sinner, the meeting is over. Let me say to you, without Christ, what about when the storm comes for you? The judgment of God. What a storm that's going to be. There's a storm coming, and it will surely come, because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. And when that storm comes of God's judgment, you will have no Savior. You will have no refuge.
You will have no one to help you. This storm will be eternal, and you will lose your soul for all eternity,
because you'll not have God's presence with you. You'll not have God's promise to hold on to. You'll know nothing of God's power in the midst of this storm, because you have refused to be saved, because you have rejected Christ as your Redeemer. You'll be without God, without Christ, and without hope for all eternity. And the storm of judgment will bring you right down into hell. And in hell, you will be there, lost forever, forever and forever. Oh, thank God for the child of God. When the storms come, they'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. But my friend, when the storm comes for you, as it surely will, the Bible says this in Romans 2, verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You will not escape the judgment of God. That's why today you need a Savior. That's why today you need an anchor. That's why today you need a Redeemer. And thank God, I can say to you that are unsaved this afternoon, that anchor, that Savior, that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Because He has died, not only died, but risen again. And because He lives, you can live. You can live eternally. You can know safety and salvation and redemption by coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. My friend, do you have that anchor? Do you have that Savior? I pray if you don't, that even this day, you'll come and trust Him. Being cheerful in the midst of the storm. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's pray.